Hello, folks, and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Bend Show. I am your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck. Say this each week. We love hearing from all of you. Your comments, stories, ideas, get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, it's 305-900-2363, or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. Ryan Long, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, yes, we are in the dog days of summer. It's hot out. Last week, we were talking about football practice had started, and Tigger shared with me a story that
I said
takes
this is
us
be great.
To Missouri, I believe.
Arkansas,
my bad. And you know what? It gave me the willy so bad that I'm not going to share it. I'm going to let
you
Tigger.
You don't even want to talk
gonna
about this
You're going to share this story
one.
Quick.
I don't know if this has hit mainstream media or not, if you've heard about this, but with football practice going on, this happened to a high school football player in Arkansas, and he was surprised, got a surprise of a lifetime, was practicing for about an hour and had his helmet on, noticed something wasn't right with his helmet.
Right.
It didn't feel right. He said he felt like something was moving in his helmet, which is extremely odd, of course. Went over to the coach. Coach looked at his helmet. Inside of his helmet, underneath the padding on the top of the helmet, here's a 2-foot-long snake. Not
Whoa.
Just any snake. I'm not talking about just a little garter snake. Listen to this. This was a 2-foot-long cottonmouth.
Oh, my
cottonmouth, extremely... You know,
are cottonmouths the same as a water moccasin?
Same thing.
Oh, my gosh.
One of the most venomous snakes that's found in Arkansas.
I'm thinking about the movie Lonesome Dove and water moccasin comes
out
of the water.
He had his helmet on for over an hour and was practicing.
Moccasin?
And this snake was just nestled in there all cozy. And then when they tried to coax the snake out,
yeah.
because he was about 2 foot in diameter, they couldn't reach in with any pinchers or pliers, and nobody had anything on them because it's football practice.
And let's be honest, if you've ever tried to pull a snake off of something and it wraps
it's
around
impossible.
It, you can't.
It is impossible. So they called the police. The police came in. They had to actually submerge his helmet in water. That was the only way that they could coax this snake out.
What a good idea.
Yeah, that actually is kind of a brilliant idea. But thank goodness this young man is okay. Could you imagine? Now, I have seen pictures on social media, I mean, things that'll give you the willies in people's tack rooms, where a lot of times you'll see snakes, they'll curl up on somebody's saddle, right? They'll curl up under the swells, and they'll all of a sudden you walk into the tack room, duh, there's a great big bull snake that's on my saddle. I've seen that many, many, many times.
We've walked on my mom's porch and seen a snake caught in a mouse trap.
Yeah, I mean, just crazy things. I never would have imagined I would ever hear that a snake was in somebody's football helmet.
And they wore it.
And he put it on. And the fact that it was a cottonmouth. Thank goodness that nobody was bit in this deal. So I'm assuming he had his helmet just sitting down in the grass or something like that, getting warmed up. And this little bugger just said, I need a new home. And that's what he found.
Think about it, though. In this day and age, especially that part of the country, how easy is it? I mean, snakes and mice are the same. They just need a tiny, tiny
yep.
little hole
yep.
and they will get into or get in wherever they want to. And depending on if there's heat or not or what other environmental
factors.
So now
we've got everybody checking their shoes and their caps and their hats and everything.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yep. All right, well, let's stay on this topic of survival, because I'm going to say that young man survived. And I've got another story of survival for you. This one takes us up to Michigan, where a Michigan mother, her 9-year-old son, and a cousin are thankfully safe after spending about 3 days stranded in the wilderness following a tubing trip on the Muskegon River. Sarah Vita, her 9-year-old son, Caden Kovacic, and Vita's cousin, Jasmine Hawk, set out August 4th, 2026 from Maple Island Boat Launch in Newaygo County. When they failed to return, Hawk's family became concerned. Vita's car was found at the launch with a broken window, prompting a major search involving drones, dogs, and helicopters. hours. The three were found, thankfully, alive Friday afternoon, August 7th, after a Michigan Department of Natural Resources officer spotted footprints and heard their cries for help. They were located in thick woods about a quarter mile from the Mill Iron Boat Launch in Muskegon County. Officials say the group had been in the wilderness for roughly 72 hours. Two of them had to be carried out, and all three were taken to the hospital. The child has since been released while his mother and cousin remain hospitalized. The family says the group's pool-style rafts broke, leaving them stranded. Hawk's phone eventually lost its battery, so they had no way to call for help. They did have some protein bars and water, which they gave mostly to the child. Family members say the three also ate plants such as flowers floating on the water, tree bark, and other things like ants, anything they could find while trying to survive. Despite the difficult conditions, they stayed together and continued looking for a way out. At one point, they heard traffic and tried to even find a nearby road. Family members say the experience has been a powerful reminder about the importance of being prepared for outdoor trips. I'm going to echo that, especially when you hear them saying that they used pool style rafts. Those are the kind of $1, $2 tubes that you buy and use one time.
And they deflate.
Yes.
And you barely bump them and you pop a hole in them.
I will say, you know, that yes, this is a good reminder of being prepared, but thankfully the other takeaway is that all three stayed together. Too often you hear of people going and wandering away from their party, trying to find.
Yeah, makes sense.
That is a key thing to stick together. All right, I have one more story of survival for you, and this one takes us to South Dakota. On Thursday, August 6th, first responders successfully assisted two stranded boaters on the Moreau River, a western tributary of Lake Oahee in north central South Dakota. The boat carrying two male passengers had become stuck on a large mud flat and remained immobilized for approximately 24 hours. A rescue attempt the previous evening using an amphibious SHERP vehicle was unsuccessful due to extremely deep and soft mud. Conservation officers with the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks then deployed one of the unit's airboats to continue the rescue effort. With the help of a local landowner, officers were able to safely launch the airboat from a nearby shoreline and began the five-mile trip to the stranded vessel. Upon arrival, they coordinated with other first responders positioned on a bluff roughly half a mile away. Local emergency management personnel utilized a drone equipped with a speaker to relay instructions to the boaters, as conservation officers had no direct means of communication with them. This innovative use of technology played a key role in the rescue success. Conservation officers navigated across the mud, reached the stranded vessel, and safely brought the two men aboard the airboat. The passengers were provided with water and transported back to shore, where EMS staff evaluated their conditions. And with that, I want to give a shout out to the other agencies involved, by the way. Thank you to the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, Dewey County Emergency Management, Walworth County Emergency Management, and Mobridge Ambulance, all in South Dakota. And also, just so you know, these gentlemen that were stuck out on their boat, they were stuck overnight. They had to spend the night before they were brought back in with the airboat. So good deal here. We got three survival stories. Everybody made it. On that note, we're going to take a short break, crew. We come back, we're going to be talking about the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally.
Go the bike rally.
You're listening to The Ben Show. What if your bull selection could help put more money in your pocket? At Jorgensen Land and Cattle, every bull is bred and tested for feed efficiency, a trait that can help you maximize production and profitability. When you lease or buy from Jorgensen Land and Cattle, you'll benefit from superior genetics, proven sire lines, and support from a team with over 60 years of experience. Our breeding program was built to help commercial cattle producers develop better cowherds and stronger feeder calves. Head to JorgensenFarms.com and follow us on Facebook. Jorgensen Land and Cattle, one of the nation's largest seed stock providers.
Welcome to Sire Buyer, a place where we connect cattlemen. The nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
Crew, this is Jeff Tigger Earhart. Check this out, coming in 2026. RanchChannel.com proudly launches the Sales Series, your inside track to the world of livestock and ranching excellence. From elite bulls, heifers, and horses to the land and equipment, products, and programs shaping the future of agriculture, we bring you the stories behind the operations, the vision behind the genetics, and the focus that can elevate your herd. Whether you're building, expanding, or fine-tuning your ranch, dive deeper into the innovations and livestock programs changing the game. The Sales Series, only on RanchChannel.com, where smart ranching starts.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair. How many of you have this destination on your bucket list? That is the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally in South Dakota. They're having their 86th annual rally.
Wrapping up, actually, this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Going on about 10 days.
August 16th is when it wraps up. And I got to say, if you've never been to the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, it is like no other. How do I put this? Think about this. A little town that's just a little dot on the map.
It's like 7,000 people is the population of Sturgis.
Yes, and for like 10 days, 500,000 people with motorcycles.
To 500,000. I did a little research for you.
Oh, did you?
On Sturgis, because I've never been there during the rally.
Oh,
I never have. I've always wanted to go. In fact, this was kind of fun. I was on Facebook. This is proof that your phone is listening to you, because I was doing some research on Sturgis, jumped on Facebook. Lo and behold, a friend of mine was going Facebook Live and was saying that he's getting ready to leave for Sturgis. Father Patrick, a Catholic priest, good friend of mine, I call him Patsy, was going Facebook Live, and he's fixing to head to Sturgis, or he was at that time a few days ago, and he was saying how he was meeting his brother that was driving up from Texas, meeting another brother that was driving. I don't even know where he was driving from, but they were meeting up in Sturgis, and this is something that they do every single year and absolutely love it.
That's the thing.
Had all his leathers on, was showing his bike.
That's the thing. Like, when you think about the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, right away, you can't help but think of Hell's Angels and all these, you know, groups coming in.
There are so many people, and they are such good people. They are such good people.
Doctors, lawyers.
A little bit of everybody.
I know people that fly in. Years ago on our ranch, we used to offer vacation packages, things like that, and we'd have guys come and say, hey, will you pick us up in town and bring us out to the ranch? We don't want to get any dings on our Harleys, you know, on their way to the Sturgis rally. But it really brings in a whole group of people that are from every kind
of... diverse as you could think of. So this has an economic impact annually on the state of South Dakota of right around $784 million. That's annually the economic impact. You said that the town swells to 500,000 people. Yes, it does. And, you know, driving to Sturgis, there's actually a number of people that now haul their bikes to Sturgis for very good reasons. I never even considered this. You know, there are, a lot of people, that's part of the fun, the journey, right? Is you drive your motorcycle across Texas, just like Patrick's brother that's driving up from Dallas, Texas. But there has been an increase of people, nearly 40% actually now tow said motorcycles to Sturgis.
I did know that this was happening, because I actually have a number of friends, and even though we are located only about 4 to 5 hours from where Sturgis is, they will go and have somebody driving, pulling a trailer in case somebody's bike breaks down, they're tired, they don't want to ride anymore, one of those kinds of things. Also, you see a lot of international folks come over and they fly their bikes over. Like, they bring them from Norway.
This is legit.
Norway is a big attender. They send a lot of people over
here
to this.
I wonder what that would cost. to...
I've got a friend that does it every year. I should ask him.
We should find that out of what roughly that costs to fly your bike over the big pond to go to Sturgis. That would be interesting. So, okay, speaking of numbers, it started back in 1938. We said $784 million, but listen to this, 86%, that's the number. So of 300 chamber businesses surveyed, 86% said the rally had an overall positive effect on their business, with 67% reporting extremely positive outcomes.
Well, and
so
I know
the businesses obviously love it.
I know that the first 50 years of the rally, it was ran by an individual family, but now that is now ran by the city of Sturgis. So I can see where they actually probably know their numbers. They know what their rate of return is of having this.
So speaking of dollars, $40. That's what you can pull off getting married for just $40.
$40.
You bring the cash. Both of you have to have your IDs, and seriously, that's all you need. It's very spontaneous. There is an outfit that will get you married for $40.
But how much is that campsite going to cost you, or that room, or even a closet you might rent?
That's the downfall of... So what are the downfalls of Sturgis that people have said? One is that right there of finding parking is astronomical. It's epic if you can even find some place to park.
That is accurate. I've seen this.
You got to have way more cash than you ever anticipated. The other downfall of the fact of people hauling said bikes.
Oh, they need more room for the trailer.
Sturgis. They need room for the trailer. But the repair shops, there are people that are working 24/7 around the clock at different shops to try to repair the bikes. And think about it. The waiting lines of trying to get, when you've got hundreds of thousands of motorcycles, the waiting lines could be all day to try to get your bikes in if they might be overheating or you've got electrical problems or something like that. They said that's one of the downfalls, if you will, of Sturgis, is just the fact of when you put 500,000 people and you're going to have some issues of just trying to take care of all the bikes and get them back up and running.
Yeah, but from an entrepreneurial side, I'm thinking how smart to go and if you have an auto body shop, you're good at turning wrenches and you make yourself in a to-go trailer to go and work on said
motorcycles.
That's
what a lot of them have done.
That is brilliant. You could probably make a year's worth just there in a week. Plus, think about it. Just this last week, too, they were hit with a major hailstorm that came right through Sturgis.
Here's another downfall that a lot of people don't think about. And I know, like, some of the residents of Sturgis, it's either a love-hate relationship with the motorcycle rally. But I never even thought about this, but one of the biggest downfalls is the fact that your phone becomes virtually useless during the rally because you take 500,000 people that descend upon that area and you are blowing up the cell towers. And a lot of first-time Sturgis goers don't know this, so people say, have kind of that paper copy, go back to the map of the hills, of the routes you're going to take, because if you're relying so much on technology, you may not be able to use it the way that you had anticipated.
Exactly, yes. And by the way, this is great that you brought that up. For those of you that are looking at going to the Black Hills, you want to go to Mount Rushmore, Deadwood, Rapid City, like we said,
which
Sturgis,
is awesome, by
Spearfish,
the way. We love it.
Lead, South Dakota. That whole area is absolutely gorgeous. Highly recommend go visit. But this is where, when we talk about keep a map in your vehicle, your motorcycle, absolutely this is when you want to, because the cell service is sketchy the way it is.
Yes. In between those towns, I mean, so if you figure like Sturgis to some of those areas you just said, Mount Rushmore to Keystone,
Lead,
down to Kester, roughly 50, 60 miles is the destination there. And it's a wonderful, beautiful drive, but there's a lot of times that you don't have very good cell service in between those areas anyway during the off season. And if there is, maybe at times, it has happened to us where there's construction where you get weaved through another area and then you really don't have cell service.
Well, all I know is Sturgis, Rapid City, Black Hills, awesome. That whole part of the world is one of those areas I think should be on people's bucket list to go visit.
It's one of our favorite places to go.
It is. Although, Tigger, we tend to go maybe more when it's off-season.
During the off-season when there isn't a 500,000 people that descend upon a community of 7,000.
But if you're coming through in the next month, I can guarantee they'll still be selling those t-shirts that say the 2026 Sturgis Motorcycle Rally happened. So you can still pretend or tell your friends you were at it and grab a t-shirt when you're driving through. All right, folks, you're listening to The Ben Show. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
Calf prices are good, but want to add another $100 per calf? Here's the solution. Gelve and Balancer females at an average maternal weaning weight advantage of 22.7 pounds per calf. At a market price of $4.50 a pound on 5-weight steers with a 22.7 pound weaning weight advantage, that's an additional $102.15 per calf. Gelve and Balancer females, they make it work.
Are you looking for true price discovery for your feeder cattle? Look no further than Superior Livestock Auction. The Bighorn Classic is coming up August 17th through the 21st, followed by the Labor Day sale. Any questions, reach out to your Superior Livestock Auction rep or call Superior Livestock Customer Service at 800-422-2117. View the Bighorn Classic live August 17th through the 21st on Dish Network Channel 997 and online at sla-tv.com.
Is there that particular pair of boots or that shirt or pair of jeans that you just can't find anywhere else? Check out Medora Boot and Western Wear. Medora Boot and Western Wear is the go-to for boots, jeans, especially jackets, and even those hard-to-find accessories that make perfect gifts. Check out MedoraBoot.com, or better yet, give Kim a call at 701-623-1005 and tell Kim that Tigger and Beck sent you. For the latest in Western and outdoor practical and fashionable wear, there is only one, Medora Boot and Western Wear.
Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair. Now that school is upon us, I hate to bring this up, but, you know, it is. It's here. And what is one of the struggles you have maybe in the morning getting ready for school, or say you want to, you know, change things up, maybe make it exciting because it's the first day of school, plan ahead? Well, I'm bringing this up because Tigger was shaking his head at me because this morning I felt like, this doesn't sound funny, I wanted brownies and I wanted waffles. So what did I do? I made a brownie mix and tossed it in the waffle maker.
And I didn't know what was going on because, well, first let me back up. I do not approve of having brownies for breakfast. Yes, they have eggs in them and, you know, but
I use protein milk in them.
You were cussing and swearing because something wasn't working. I didn't know what was going on. I came out in the kitchen and you had batter everywhere and you had remnants of brownie everywhere. The dog was excited because of all the brownie that was on the floor. She was going nuts.
Yeah, so I had a fail this morning, and this was one of, I don't have a lot of fails, okay?
But you're not recommending for families to make waffle brownie.
Just hold on, okay? I'm getting ahead of the game here because I am recommending something. I'm just not recommending using a brownie mix in a waffle maker, but I will tell you to do this, and that is use a good old cake mix. We're talking like just take a cake mix store-bought box where you just add a couple of eggs, some milk, a little oil, mix it all up. I'm telling you, the cake mixes work in the waffle maker. I don't know why the brownie mix didn't work.
Maybe more for treats, not necessarily breakfast.
Well, why? I am going to say,
unless you're Beck and you want brownies for breakfast.
You want to change things up. And this is what I love, is because it doesn't matter if you're a gal or a guy. Sometimes the dad's got to make breakfast too. Or you want to do a special maybe dessert for another time. This works and is a game changer for me. I have impressed your parents with this when I've done this for a dessert. Say, just took a cake mix, a boxed cake mix, made the batter the way it says on the box, and then continued to bake it. Instead, I put it in my waffle maker and it makes the cake almost like a brownie. It has like that crunchy taste on the outside, soft on the inside. But this is also fun to do for special occasions. Say the first day of school. What kid isn't going to come out and be like, whoa, are we having Wait, is this chocolate cake?
Okay.
Wait, it's
I
waffles?
See where you're going. I see where
Special
you're going
occasions.
With this. I see where you're going with this, especially because, you know, everybody's going to be starting school pretty quick. Depending upon how your kids are, maybe they're dragging their feet. Nah, they don't want to go back to school. Maybe they are excited. I get it. Now
you
I get
tell
it.
Me,
now I get it.
Whenever we've done this for our nieces or nephews, if they stay over and say, you know, they spent the night, next morning, we make waffles, a.k.a. cake in a waffle maker, they go bonkers.
It's like little cake cookies, kind of, in a
yeah,
way.
Because
and you can freeze them. We've done that, too. You make a bunch and you put them in the freezer.
Yes, yes. And they work great, as I said, also for a dessert. And if you're looking for, like, a fun activity, get the kids involved. Let them pick out the cake mix or mixes that you're going to use. And voila, we've had great luck with chocolate, with red velvet.
But do they expand when they're in the waffle maker?
They come out just like
Or do they come out kind of more dense? I think they're kind of more dense, right?
They're dense. They're more like a brownie consistency. That's what I like about this. So anyway, there you have it. A quick little easy game changer to get everybody excited for school. On that note, folks, we're going to call this show wrapped for this week. Remember to keep sending in any questions you might have or if there's any thoughts you have on a certain topic as
or
well
pictures
as...
pictures of Sturgis.
Sturgis, or how about those big fish you've been reeling in? We want to see them all. You can call or text us anytime, 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this show or want to hear past episodes, you can find them all on the website, thebendshow.com. Finally, big thanks to you listeners for coming along with us again. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me, Beck, all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend.